Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's head to Chicago now and welcome Nick Shepkowski, known as Nicky the Kid, but we're not going to call him that. Just got off the air doing a show at our affiliate in Chicago, AM 670 The Score. Nick, this is an easy place to start, easy question. I'm going to toss up the softball for you. What was the reaction from the Chicago fan base after the firing of Coach Quenneville?
I think it was darn near the exact same thing. I mean, it's shock, it's stunned, it's the best coach in the history of this franchise. It's been around nearly 100 years, and up and vanished is he. I mean, it's, you look at it, Stan Bowman, the general manager of the Blackhawks, has been under some pretty big criticism the last couple of years. Free agent signings that just won, not really banner-worthy free agent signings that he's gone after. Two, you've seen them not play out that way. This is a team that we remember the three Stanley Cups in 2010, 2013, 2015. But since 2015, they're a team that hasn't won a playoff round. They haven't advanced to the second round of the playoffs. Last year, missing the playoffs. And I guess the timing of it's really the confusing part, because if you wanted to do this a different way and have a new coach come in and establish their way, or really get, I don't know, an understanding of a team, you would think you do that in the off season. You give them all the training camp, all the off season to kind of work together. But this is done when the Hawks have 4 days off. It's done towards the end of that run. And it leaves a lot of people scratching their heads and wondering what's going to become of this Hawks team that was an NHL dynasty for the last decade or so.
Yeah, he's got a resume, a track record that is jaw-dropping. And now you've got the Blackhawks promoting a guy who has never coached at the NHL level before. What in the world?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thought here as well. I mean, you bring a 33-year-old into a room where you have Jonathan Toews, who's about to turn 30. Patrick Kane, been around the league for quite some time now. Established veterans and very, very good players, at least in the primes of their careers during those times, in Brent Seabrook and Duncan Keith, that have kind of been the lifeblood of this team. And now you bring in a younger coach. And that was one of the knocks on Quenneville as well, is that his development and some of his relationships with the younger players wasn't up to snuff. And I'm not going to say that Joel Quenneville is innocent in all this, because you've seen it. Teuvo Teravainen being traded a couple of years ago, and that was part of a salary dump because they had to get under the cap and he had to kind of give something to get rid of a bad contract as well. But his future wasn't good in Chicago as it kind of was, just because the relationship with Quenneville wasn't so great. We've seen it here in the last couple of weeks as well. Brandon Saad, who was just dealt for, one of the problems with that was Saad and Quenneville couldn't quite get on the same page. Big thing with Blackhawks practices is this white jersey, and it's essentially being like on the second team, or like when you're in sixth grade basketball, you're on the B team. It's essentially how it's viewed in practice if he gives you this white jersey in practice. And Brandon Saad, an established veteran who was a very key part of one of the Stanley Cup teams, was put in the white jersey the other day, and there was some big uproar kind of with that. And not to say that like it was like the final thing or anything that extreme, but it was just definitely noteworthy in kind of how Quenneville was viewed and kind of how some of the younger players, I guess, the lack of the relationship that's really there.
He was the longest tenured head coach in the NHL, and now he's replaced by the youngest head coach in the NHL. We're talking about the firing of former Blackhawks coach Joel Quenneville. Just sounds weird. With Nick Shepkowski of our Chicago affiliate, AM 670 The Score. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So other than maybe potentially some communication issues and certainly a disconnect with Stan Bowman in the front office, what are the biggest problems with the Blackhawks on the ice, who right now are 6-6-3 to start the season?
I mean, you look at it, and it's kind of the lack of star power. Jonathan Toews has been better this year than he has been the last 2 years or so. With that said, Jonathan Toews is still nowhere near like the top three, top four player he was when the Hawks were raising banners on a seemingly annual basis here in Chicago. He's back to kind of looking more of the part, but by no means is it like the full Jonathan Toews. So there's that part of it. you look and there's just no defense on this team. Duncan Keith has been a mainstay in Defensive Player of the Year voting year after year after year. I mean, he's 35 years old now, and the wear and tear, the mileage has caught up with him. He looks slower. Brent Seabrook, who was signed by Stan Bowman just two seasons ago to an eight-year extension, which was really questionable even at the time, but he has taken a step back. And you kind of saw that starting to form a little bit 2015 season of him kind of slowing down a step. That's really started to take its toll. And the defense is just non-existent. I mean, you look where the Hawks are league ranking-wise, shots allowed this year. I mean, they're third, fourth from the bottom in the entire league. Hmm. And you factor in Corey Crawford's been battling through concussion injuries really the last almost full calendar year. And if he's not going to be able to be relied upon with any consistency, I mean, you're going to have a much better backup goaltender than they have in Cam Ward, because Cam Ward, yes, he did great things in Carolina. Those days have come and gone, and the Hawks just don't have that right now. If they can't rely on Corey Crawford to hide a lot of these defensive mistakes, then it's going to be a long winter at the United Center.
Mm, so there's the shock of this move with the Chicago fan base, but there's also a first place team in the Chicago Bears. So how much does the excitement over a 5-3 Bears team that's coming off a big victory spurred on by the defense against Buffalo, how much does this do to kind of soften the blow of a rough start and now Joel Quenneville's firing with the Blackhawks?
Yeah, I mean, it's a Bears town. We can say how much people love the Cubs in that story a couple of years ago, can say all the nice things about the other teams in this town. It's a Bears town. Everybody eats, sleeps, breathes Bears football. When Sunday comes around, Joel Quenneville will essentially be forgotten about, and all eyes at noon will be on the Bears and the Lions for those 3 hours. But yeah, it has been a very pleasant surprise. It's amazing how quickly things can change, because the expectation was, all right, there's some young pieces starting to show up in this town. But then a week before opening day, opening weekend, Ryan Pace pulls the trigger and he goes and makes the big time deal for Khalil Mack, changes the entire defense. I mean, it goes from being what's thought of as probably a top half, maybe a top third defense in the NFL, to one of maybe in the discussion for me for being a top five defense in this league. And they've been able to survive without Khalil Mack the last couple of weeks as well, playing phenomenal. I mean, Eddie Jackson has emerged as a real Pro Bowl candidate as a safety position. You look at Adrian Amos, he has played some fantastic football in the secondary as well. I mean, I'm not going to say that this isn't in part due to that acquisition and making a pass rush better that makes everything else better and hides some of the other problems defensively. But, I mean, it has definitely raised its level, and there is excitement in this town. I mean, it's a Bears team that they haven't played. I mean, since that Jay Cutler game where he left with the injury against the Packers in the NFC Championship in January of 2011, it's a team that hasn't played in a playoff game since then. That's back a while ago now. I mean, you're looking at seven full seasons since that's taken place. It's a city that's hungry for some playoff football, and it's a team that I'm not going to go out on a limb and be like, yes, they're guaranteed to be a playoff team at this point, but it's definitely ahead of where most of the city probably thought it was process-wise at the start of the year.
What is the latest on Khalil Mack and his ankle injury?
I would say that it's more likely that he plays this week than it was at any point during last week. Thought it was pretty obvious early on last week that they were going to hold him out a second week in a row. I think that there is some hesitancy to play him this week because of these games. It's kind of a weird schedule that the Bears have here coming up in that they play this Sunday against Detroit, nothing out of the ordinary with that. But next Sunday's game against Minnesota has been flexed to Sunday night.
Right.
Not normally a big deal. It's a big deal in this case because instead of playing at noon, you're playing at 7:20 p.m. Then the Bears have the quick return against Detroit again on Thanksgiving. They have the 11:30 kickoff. So there's a very short kind of turnaround right there.
Yeah.
So something to keep your eye on. I wouldn't be shocked because of it being the home game against Detroit. Detroit, probably safe to say, is the least talented, least feared team in the division right now. I don't think it's absurd to think that Khalil Mack sits out one more game, but I think his chances of playing are significantly better than they were at any point in the last 2 weeks.
Well, and if the Bears can get through this mini gauntlet against the Lions, the Vikings, and the Lions around Thanksgiving, then looming in December, back-to-back games against the Rams and the Packers, though both of those will be at Soldier Field. So, Nick, we talk about the defense. It's really establishing a new intensity, a new physicality, and, you know, is among the best in the NFL. How would you describe the offense in the second year with Mitch Trubisky?
Growing. I think growing pains is probably the best way to put it, because the defense has put this team in position to either score or be in positions where they don't have to do a whole heck of a lot. Like this Buffalo game last week, the Bears defense was creating turnovers, not just creating turnovers, but scoring off of turnovers, getting leads on their own. So it was hard to like evaluate, oh, how well did Mitch Trubisky play in this game? Well, he wasn't asked to do a whole heck of a lot, and he didn't possess the ball too well. I mean, he gave up a bad fumble, threw a bad interception, so it wasn't the best kind of game for him. I think it's one of those that, like, you see early on in games, the Bears' offense comes out firing, and they've done a good job of scoring first, second drives of games when a lot of times those plays are more scripted from Ryan Pace. What hasn't gone so well is as the game goes on, and you get away from those scripted plays, and you get into the actual play calling, reacting what you're seeing defensively, and that part of it, that's where you've had some more issues so far this season. I think the growing pains are there. I think it's always kind of been the story with this team. I thought that some of the people that were super excited about what the Bears were going to have with this offensively this year were a little crazy and kind of thinking like, oh man, it's going to be a top offense from week one. Thought that was a little bit much, but I think that people were, I think they might be a little surprised and a little disappointed in kind of how long it has taken to find a rhythm with this.
Nick Shepkowski just got off the air hosting a show on AM 670 The Score in Chicago. He's with us now here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So before I let you go, how much buzz is there, if any, about the potential for Bryce Harper to land in a Cubs uniform?
It felt like when the season ended that it was like, oh, yeah, Cubs are going to be in the running. I think Bovada came out with odds that the Cubs were an even favorite in getting him, and some of that's because of the Instagram. Bryce Harper's done a phenomenal job on this. I think baseball can learn a thing from him, and just the way he's kind of marketed himself without necessarily looking for money off of it, but in ways that he's just kind of finding himself in the conversation with it, posting pictures with Chris Bryant, kind of teasing Cubs fans. I mean, as early as the 2017 postseason, he's posting pictures on his Instagram, oh, love playing at Wrigley Field, can't wait to come back here. Shows a picture of his dog on Instagram. It's Wrigley, is the name of his dog. And people just can't wait to be like, oh, he's definitely coming to the Cubs. He's definitely doing this, definitely doing that. And it's like, well, he's probably going to go wherever offers him the most money. And right now it seems that the Cubs do have some financial restrictions because of contracts they've gotten in on, whether it's Jason Hayward, whether it's Yu Darvish. Some of them not paying off so much for the Cubs. But because of that, it seems like at least at this point, by all reports, maybe the Cubs are kind of playing their cards close to their vest. Maybe they're trying to put out some information to mislead people in the media. But at least in terms of all reports and all respected kind of Cubs reporters here in town, it would be a pretty significant upset at this point if Bryce Harper ends up wearing red, white, and blue.
Not a dull moment right now in Chicago sports, which is cool. You can find Nick on Twitter at Shep670, so S-H-E-P-670, from our affiliate in Chicago, the great AM670 The Score. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes. Great to talk to you.
Awesome. Had a great time, Amy. I'll do it anytime.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.